I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication.
Shake down, break down, take down. Everybody wants it to the crowd alive. Break down, take down, the bus stand.
Do it live!
Oh, good for you!
Playoffs?
We're talking about practice, man.
First of all, let's get one thing straight. Crack is cheap. I make too much money to ever smoke crack. Let's get that straight.
Let's get that straight.
We don't do crack. Crack is whack.
Crack is whack. Crack is whack! Welcome back, everybody. This is the show where I break down celebrity breakdowns. The breakdown breakdown. Not just celebrity breakdowns, though, because the last couple of weeks, I've been breaking down, well, celebrity breakdowns. I've done actors, did an athlete. I've got other people on deck. I've got singers. I've got politicians I want to get into at some point. I've got a wish list of a guest that I want to have come on and do that. Perhaps that's going to happen sooner than later. And but another thing I wanted to explore, something that I talked about in the very first episode, was our own breakdowns. And I figured I'd get the ball rolling on this. I've got a couple of my own breakdowns that, who knows? Who knows if you guys are going to find it interesting or not. I find it interesting. So the reason why I'm doing this podcast is, I figured I better reiterate this, is the fact that celebrities have this sheen, this facade that they project at all times, whether it's from their publicist who is encouraging it, or if it's from the billionaire head of the production company, or just their own shit they're dealing with that they want to project out there, that they're having, you know, the deity life, the godlike life that everybody thinks that celebrities have, you know, so they're projecting that at all times. But when they have a breakdown, that is one of the rare times, in my opinion, where you're actually seeing into their soul. Now, unfortunately, it's during a breakdown. That's probably not the best time to look into somebody's soul. I will be the first to admit that. But it lets you know that they are truly one of us. You know what I mean? You always hear, oh, celebrities are people too. You don't get to see it very often. But when they break down, that is when we are all at our worst. And when we're all at our worst, you're definitely not one of these deities, one of these gods to celebrate, you know? So that's one of the reasons why I'm wanting to explore these breakdowns. So what have we done so far? We've done Alec Baldwin. I'm kind of ashamed of that one. I feel bad that that was a private breakdown, but you know what became public? I believe it's something that needed to be addressed. Allen Iverson's breakdown with the press. I thought that one is always just that's a gem, if you ask me. Christian Bale's is awesome just because it's funny. He's being a dick, man. There's no way around it. There's no way around him just being a complete and utter dick. Which brings me to my topic today. Me being a complete and utter dick. I can't think, surely it happened before this first one that I'm going to bring up. But this is the first one that I can think of. And it's, I don't know where I stand on this. I've told the story a couple times. Never quite sure if I come across as the villain or the hero. But nonetheless, it is a breakdown. And it happened in front of my entire, not an entire, it happened in front of a good portion of my junior high school class, English class. A little bit of a backstory. Me and a buddy of mine, who will go nameless, we were part of an incredible IDA forensics team, improvised duet acting. As you can tell by my incredible delivery here, I was quite the improv master back in the day. Improvised duet acting is kind of like what you see on Whose Line Is It Anyway? Or those other shows. Or if you've gone to an actual improv show where you have two people, They now this is forensic, so it's all, you know, it's at a school. It was never really on our home turf because we went to such a small high school, we could never host anything like this. But forensics, you have duet acting, you have improvised duet acting, you have solo, you've got dramatic solo, you've got impromptu debates. You've got all sorts of stuff. I didn't pay attention because IDA, improvised duet acting, that was always the big one. At the very end of the day, everybody would gather into the biggest room, and the people, the IDA finalists would all go against each other. You typically had like six finalists, and top three got to move on to regionals automatically. And with improvised duet acting, what you do is you go into a room in the early rounds, and you pick out a situation, character, and location. And you create a sketch based off of that. Just however, you know, whatever three you end up getting. And there were two IDA teams at Norwich High School. Go Eagles. And me and my buddy, we were always top two, top three at these meets. And the other people, the other IDA team, they were always top two or three as well. We got first place a couple times. I think they might have gotten first place a couple times, but we were always neck and neck. We were a small school, but we always represented Norwich at some point, either myself or these other two guys. But the teacher, the lady who was the coach, I guess you would call it, the instructor, I don't know. I think it was a forensics coach is what we called it. It's been a long time. She clearly favored the other guys over us. Oh, God, just thinking it out loud. Just thinking it and, like, preparing. All right, how am I going to line this up? How am I going to make myself look better? In my mind, I thought she favored these guys. Oh, my God. In my mind, I thought she favored these guys because she had a crush on them. Oh, my God, I can't believe saying this out loud. I guess I've told the story before, but I haven't given people the backstory. I have another podcast called Eureka Podcast where I've talked about this before, but I haven't really broken it down like this, a breakdown. In my mind, I thought that she had a crush on these two guys. I don't know what I thought she was going to do with that. I mean, she was probably, I think she was a younger teacher, maybe 25, 26. These guys were 16, 17. Who knows? Maybe she actually did, but thinking back on it, it's just she probably didn't. Who knows why she, in my eyes, favored them more than us. But okay, I'm just going to lay it out the way I thought it was. She favored them. She gave them all of the favors that they would need. Not like that. She gave them all of the help and preparation that they would need. And for us, she just kind of let us do whatever. She wouldn't review our final analysis, you know, once we got done doing anything. Who knows? Maybe it's because she thought we were good enough that we didn't need that. I don't know. But I was like a 16-year-old kid. What the hell? So there was, after the season one time, we got, I think we got second at state. Just nailed it. You know, there was like 100 people in the room when we did our final piece in Salina, Kansas at the state tournament. We got second place. And the other guys didn't place, if I remember right. And guys, if you hear this, I apologize if I'm butchering this. Hold my feet to the fire. Contact me and let me know that I've made a mistake here. But they didn't place that year. I believe they might have gone to the finals, but you're only top three place. And at the end of the season, we all had a forensics party together. And oh God, so toward the end of the party, people were kind of clearing out, and she's just started gushing about the other two guys. And I was sitting there with my buddy, just kind of like, God dang it, man. She doesn't say a damn word to us. Man, maybe I was jealous. Not just jealous of the fact that, obviously, she's talking to her, but maybe I was jealous of the fact that, though, she didn't have a crush on me. Because these were two good-looking guys, I'm not going to lie. I'm not ugly, but these guys were good-looking. Well, I'm really just coming to grips with a lot of this stuff right now. They were good-looking guys. She's just over there in a corner gushing over them, and other people are kind of looking at us, and I'm like, God, she just gushes over them all season. And they start kind of pumping me up like, yeah, man, she never does anything for you guys. She never, you know, talks to you guys about stuff like this. She's always just all up in their nuts. That was the way I was looking at it anyway. And I'm getting ready to leave, and I'm like, all right, I'll see you later. Good season, guys. And I was looking to maybe shake her hand. I don't know. She hugged everybody else who left the room. So I'm looking for a hug maybe. And she just says, all right, guys. Oh, and by the way, my other guy, my duet partner, was a senior. He may not have ever seen this lady again. And I was like, did you want to say goodbye? She's like, whatever. And I slammed my book bag down. I looked at her and I said, what the fuck is your problem? This is a teacher. This is during school hours. What the fuck is your problem? And she just kind of looks at me. What? My God, I'm picturing it right. I can picture it. I can see the glasses she was wearing, the white shirt. And I looked at her and I said, you have favored these guys for the last 2 years. My partner and I have just placed second place in state. Oh my God, this is so petty. Ugh. Just placed second place at state. That is a fantastic showing. And all you've been doing is gushing over these guys the entire time. I mean, what the hell? What do we have to do to get any sort of appreciation? She's like, well, I think you guys did a good job. Oh, good for you!
Oh, good for you!
That is too little too late. You did nothing for us all season. Why? What, do you think we suck or something? What do we have to do? I mean, I'm going to be here next year. And I'm going to have to get a different partner. But I don't know if I want to fucking do it because these guys are still going to be here. Are you going to do anything to help anybody else on this team? Anybody else on this team at all? Or are you just going to be looking at these guys lovey-dovey all next year? Because I can guarantee you, anybody else around here, and I looked around the room, and nobody was looking up at us, but they could definitely hear us. It was one of those, who's coming with me type moments from Jerry Maguire. Who's coming with me? Who's coming? And nobody is doing anything. And the two guys that I'm yelling about are just looking at me wide-eyed, like, what is he doing? Like, I don't think they even noticed the entire season that any of this was bubbling under the surface, that I had any sort of resentment. And to be fair, there was no indication all season that there was. I just hold it in. That's what I do. I hold it in. I always refer to the Hensons just sweeping everything under the rug. You pull up the throw rug, you sweep everything underneath there, you pat it down, and you act like you might trip over it. Multiple times. The bump is big. You know, you're walking along. You don't see the pattern in the throw rug. You trip over it a couple times. Yep, you acknowledge that it's there. Oh, there's that bump again. There's that bump we're never going to address. But you keep on moving along. But eventually, you have to address that bump. You keep sweeping stuff underneath there. You got to address that bump eventually. Well, that's what I was doing that day. I was addressing the bump. And I look around. Who's coming with me? Who's coming? And nobody. And this is before cell phones. I mean, nobody, they weren't looking down at their Facebook. They weren't looking down at text messages they were getting in. They were just, I can't believe he's doing this. I look back at the people that were trying to get me riled up and they're like packing their shit and getting out of there. I'm like, guys, who's with me? Who's, if she does this shit next year, guys, and they're just leaving. And I look at my partner. I was like, right, dude? And I have no idea what you're talking about. We hadn't sussed this out. I don't think I had complained. No, we had complained in the past. No, because we used to bitch about it to each other. Yeah, you know, little snide remarks, you know, to each other after a win or something like that. Or if they beat us, you know, we would look at each other and be like, oh, it must be nice. Yeah, we could use some of the support that they get, blah, 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 that sort of petty bullshit. But I'm looking around and finally I look back at her, back at the teacher, coach, and she's crying. And I'm standing over her, and I'm not a small guy. I wasn't a small guy in high school either. 5'10 isn't big, but I was 5'10, 180, you know, basketball player. I played football at one point. I wasn't playing football that season. Weightlifter, you know, but I'm like standing over, and I realize, oh my God, what have I done? I'm screaming at a teacher during school hours, accusing her of wanting to bring pleasure to these little boys. I don't know if I processed all that at the time, but looking back on it, that's definitely what I was implying. And I just start to crumble. You know, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I start looking around and people are like shaking their heads at me. And I look back at the people that were egging me on and they're gone, just completely gone. I was like, God, I thought the whole place was gonna, and then okay, I'm clearly the villain in this situation. I set it up saying I don't know if I'm the villain or the hero. God dang, looking back at it, I am the villain here. But there is something to be said about the fact that we were the MVPs. We consistently placed in the top three, and we never got any sort of, hey, atta boys, hey, way to go. Or if we didn't do well, oh, you'll get them next time, you know, or constructive criticism. I don't know. How about a little bit of that? Oh, God, I'm an asshole. And thinking back on it, I remember being... I left the room, but I remember still being kind of proud. Like, oh, I stood up for myself, and I really let her have it. That sort of thing. I've told the story in the past where... Told this exact story in the past where I said I was proud of it, but man, really breaking it down... It's a bad idea for a podcast. Yeah, that was an asshole move. That was an asshole move. Miss, I apologize. I should not have done that. And everybody else in that room, I apologize. That's not a good look. That's not a good look. Bless you. Sorry, I'm recording in a... oh my God, I just realized if they could hear me... Or if I can, I'm recording in a hotel room. If I can hear them, they could definitely hear me screaming. I apologize to you guys, too. So there's another instance that I had a public breakdown. I've had a couple of them. Well, we're going to keep this with a theme. It's another teacher. This time I was in college. 700 building of Butler County Community College, El Dorado, Kansas. Sociology teacher this time. I'm just prepping myself. I don't remember how I look in this one. Spring break, 2001. Before 9/11. You know how people do that, where you got these breaks in your life where you're like, okay, was that before or after this? Was it before or after that? This is before 9/11. This is apropos of nothing. It's just how I remember dates sometimes. I go on spring break. A couple months before that, I had gotten back with my high school sweetheart. I had moved, junior high sweetheart. A little further of a backstory, before I broke down with my English teacher, and that would have been 1997, 1998 time frame. We had moved to Kansas from Chicago in 1995, and I was dating a girl, I was going steady with a girl up there. And when I got into college, she and I started chatting again, old school style, actually talking on the phone. I believe she contacted my parents to get my phone number, that sort of thing. We'd gotten back together and I'd actually gotten engaged to her, and I had gone up to Chicago to visit her during spring break, and there were some papers that I had to turn in some papers when I got back, like a quiz over spring break, which, first of all, asshole, what are you thinking? I'm talking to you, sociology professor. The whole time I'm gone, I didn't work on this at all. That's a little peek into my soul at this point. I didn't work on it at all. So my plan was to drive all the way back from Chicago to El Dorado, Kansas, 12-hour drive or so, maybe 11-hour drive, and just cram the night before and turn in some BS. Well, my transmission went out when I was in Chicago, so I had to stay an extra 3 or 4 days. And I would call and leave voicemails for my sociology professor saying, I'm not going to make it. I apologize. My transmission went out. I am stranded in Chicago. I can't get back without my transmission. And I never heard back from him. I called him the next day again and said, hey, I just want to verify that you got my voicemail. Never heard back. And this is really before widespread use of email. I mean, we would email, but it wasn't like, not like we do now, you know. So I believe I might have emailed him, but again, it's kind of irrelevant. Never heard back from the guy. And long story short, once my transmission is fixed, I buzz back to Kansas. I show up for like the Thursday class, even though the paper was due on Tuesday. And I walk in, I sit through class. And incidentally, this is the very first time I had heard of BTK, Bind, Torture, Kill, the serial killer from Wichita, Kansas. This very same day, like the very first time I ever heard about him was him discussing Dennis Rader, is the serial killer's name, which we didn't find out until years later. But anyway, look into BTK. He was crazy. He was a serial killer from Kansas. It's the very first time I ever heard of this guy. We get out of class, and I walk up to him. I said, "Hey, did you get my voicemails?" He said, "Yes, I did." I said, "Great, great. So what do you want to do about these papers?" And I had them in my hand. I actually, you know, did the work. They were late, but I had a valid excuse. I even had a receipt from Callahan Motors? No, that's from Tommy Boy. That can't be it. Cata? Ooh, the body shop is right there. I can't remember the mechanic's name. But I hand that to him too. And he said, "I don't care." And walked out. And I was like, "Excuse me?" He said, "I don't care. It was due on Tuesday. You weren't here. You get a zero." And I'm following down the hallway. I'm like, but sir, perhaps you didn't listen to the voicemail. I was stranded in Chicago. My transmission failed." And he said, "You could have emailed it to me." And I was like, "Sir, I had no way of doing that. I was staying at my girlfriend's house. This isn't the time where you could just take a picture on your smartphone. You know, I would have had to, I guess, go to a library, saved it to a disk, gone back to her house, put the disk into her computer. I guess I could have done all that, but I also left the guy a voicemail and was like, "Hey, look, maybe you can have some leniency here. I've got a receipt, blah, blah, blah." "No, you get a zero. You're probably going to fail the class. Nothing I can do about it." So I'm following him down the stairs of the 700 building, which at Butler County Community College, for those of everybody who didn't go there, that is the main building of the campus. So there are hundreds of people walking around. And I was like, "You know what, professor? Fuck you!" And I'm standing on the flight, so you got the landing where you come down, you twist around, and he's going down the stairs. I said, "Fuck you!" And he turns around and he said, "That's it, you're out of my class." I said, "Who gives a shit? Nobody fucking likes you. You're the worst professor here. You have a dropout rate that's worse than anybody else. Blah, blah, blah. I had a valid..." I mean, I am picturing myself now like an out-of-body experience looking up at me, maybe through his view. I'm not sure where this view is coming from, but I had, you know, the veins in my neck are popping out. I've got a vein on my forehead that really starts to go when I get really angry. And I'm looking kind of the same type of situation with Ms. I'm looking around and I'm like, yeah, fuck this guy. Am I right? Fuck you. And I start coming down the stairs at him. And I was like, "I'm going to fucking quit your class anyway. You're a fucking dick. Like, you're fucking ruining this." Just screaming at him. I get to the point where I start tearing pages out of the book and I'm throwing it at him. God, I'm a dick. Oh, I had some rage issues back then. Ugh. So people are starting to laugh at me, point at me, that sort of thing. And he's, to his credit, he's just sitting there taking it. And I get to the point where I just run out of stuff. I just keep saying, "Nobody likes you, nobody likes you." And he just walks up, grabs my book, and he said, "You're not going to be getting a refund on this," and walked away. And I was like, oh, just seeing red. I believe I turned around and stomped back up the stairs that I just came down, if I remember right. Saving grace on this is the fact that, oh God, I just had another one pop into my mind. I'll leave that. Other students did come up to me afterward and say, I am not the first one they've seen that happened. Like, I'm not the first student that they have actually seen yell those same words in the same manner from the landing looking down at that exact professor. I am not the first. I guarantee I am not the last. And so that made me feel a little bit better. I asked if the professor ever had such a great final line as "you're not going to be getting that refund back." Nobody could confirm that for me, but I'd like to think that I'm not the first one he used that on, because if that wasn't original from him, that just hurts that much more. Because I just set him up. I set him up for a great line, and I had no comeback for that. I believe my comeback was... as I ran back up the stairs. Oh, man. The one that popped into my mind, I'm not going to get into it. Maybe I'll save it for a later episode, was when I... God, I'm an asshole. I don't want to talk about this stuff. It's when I quit the basketball team my senior year of high school. Oh, God. No, you know what? Thinking back on that one, it was not a blow up. Thank God. You see, some of the things that we're exploring, some of the things that I'm exploring in this podcast is also coming to grips with my own breakdowns. I was kind of an angry guy at that point. I was dealing with repressed anger over actually moving from Chicago to Kansas. Was one of them. Oh, to give you an update, as far as the fiance at that point, yeah, never married her, thank God. Not that she was an awful person, just the one I'm married to now is the one that I want to be married to. That's another way of saying I love her. Ugh, I'm a douche. But yeah, so I don't think I ever took sociology after that. I think I took psychology instead. Anyway, those are a couple of my breakdowns. That's the breakdown of Jeremy's breakdown. I've got another one that I've got locked and loaded. This one is one that I'm going to have a guest on the show for. My brother-in-law will have to come on the show, because he is not just my brother-in-law. He's also my best friend. Like, we were roommates in college and everything, and we ended up marrying twins. Grand old story as far as that goes. But he and I got into a bar fight with each other once. So that's going to be a fun one to explore. So thanks for stopping by, everybody. I'm gonna call it quits on this one. Follow us on Twitter. I'm going to leave that in the show notes. Follow me on Twitter. Give me recommendations. Let me know. I mean, I am sorry. God, am I an asshole? But you know what? Again, this is the most awful part of celebrities' lives. It's the most awful part. There's never typically a breakdown that everybody looks at it and says, "Way to go. Way to go. That was a quality breakdown." I'm sure they're out there. But the very definition of breakdowns, they've got to be few and far between. If you've got a breakdown that you want to share with us, tweet at us. I keep saying us. If you have a breakdown that you want to share with me, again, go to Twitter. Give me a heads up. We might get some listeners on this show at some point. But for the time being, try to keep your cool.